Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go, this is it!
This is Top Flag Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I am Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
Welcome along as we delve once again into the history books. Looking back at a notable event in history, possibly over one episode, possibly over 9 episodes, who knows. This one, I was just doing a search, Sam, through the tweets that came in. Under the words history box, seeing if there's any suggestions from anyone. And this one stood out, and it came in from, can't find it, where's it gone? A fella called Dax78, or something like that. I forgot, I had it written down. Oh no, I've got a screen grab of it, let's have a look. Andrew Dax Hardy, Dax78 on Twitter. This was about 18 months ago. And he just said, after devastating cheese news this week, I don't know what the devastating cheese news was, but doesn't sound good, don't like the sound of that. This could be a good suggestion for History Box, and it was a link to this, which is the Nottingham cheese riot. And I thought, well, two of the things that we love most on this podcast are cheese and riots.
And we're quite partial to Nottingham as well.
Well, it's our heartland, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's where our central hub is based. So I thought, why not? Let's give it a look. So thanks for that, Dax78. We'll have a look at the Nottingham cheese riot, also known, it says here on the Wikipedia page, which is our source, as the Great Cheese Riot, and it started on 2nd of October 1766 at the city's Goose Fair. Now, I've never been to a goose fair.
No.
But I've seen signs for goose fairs around the land.
Have you?
When I've been on my travels. Yeah, I've seen a few. And I've never been to one, and it's kind of an ambition now.
Do you have any idea of what goes down? I mean, obviously, we're about to find out what happened at this one, but this one's pretty exceptional. A standard goose fair.
Well, the Nottingham one, I've gone to its own page. It's got its own Wikipedia page. It's an annual travelling fun fair held at the Forest Recreation Ground in Nottingham during the first week of October. Largely provided by travelling showmen, it is one of 3 established fairs in the United Kingdom to carry the name. I've seen more than three goose fairs. I've seen small goose fairs. I'm sure about it.
I don't know if they would be allowed by the sort of goose authorities to be regarded as official. It's like we always come back to this, but it's like these dodgy Santa's grottos or Winter Wonderlands.
Like
suddenly any Tom, Dick and Harry is fucking starting them up. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But they're not officially licensed.
Yeah, the signs that I've seen seem to have been kind of like a bit rudimentary and hand-painted. So they don't feel as though they are... You know, bells and
whistles. Yeah, their chances on the make.
Underground goose fairs.
Yeah, exactly. Illegal goose fairs.
Oh, I'd love to go to a legal goose fair. I'm not bothered by the legal ones.
So would I, yeah.
But there we are. The goose fair still goes on. Wow, fucking hell. For 2022, as of March, negotiations were underway to extend the Nottingham Goose Fair's normal 5-day duration to 10 days.
What did the goose... Is it mainly geese-based? Is it like geese doing tricks and whatnot?
It's overseen by geese, I think.
Right.
And then the showmen come along and put the fun fair together. It started as a livestock and trade event with reputation for excellent cheese, which is what we're going to talk about.
So let's get this straight. You're a travelling fair, yeah. But you mainly, most of the things are geese. Yeah, most of the shows are geese. We've got geese magicians, geese trapeze.
Yeah. Geese boxing.
Geese boxing, geese in little sort of toy cars, geese geese clowns. Okay, and what else? Also, the other key thing about this is, which we don't mention in time, but it's almost as important as the geese, is the cheese is exceptional. We have a range of exceptional cheeses on offer. Well, this sounds fucking great.
Do the geese make the cheese? Is the cheese made from goose milk?
I'd eat it, though.
What's wrong with that? Yeah, of course.
I was when I was in Wales, I was driving along a quiet road and I saw a sign just saying sheepdog trials today. And I fucking tried to throw a Yui because I drove past it and I sort of went, sheepdog trials today! It was only me and my wife in the car. And I looked in the mirror and she could see I was going to do a Yui and she went, no, don't. It's probably not started yet because it was quite early in the morning. But that's another thing that I'd like to see.
Well, I was recently talking to my good friend Frankie Francis, who, of course, was the singer in Frankie and the Heartstrings and is involved in Pop Rex and Sunderland.
And a performer at our legendary Christmas show.
Exactly, in April. Yeah. And Frankie does the match day commentary for Sunderland's TV coverage, in-house TV coverage. And he sometimes does the announcements at the stadium as well. So we were talking about all things Sunderland and we were remembering the days when they used to have police dog trials on the pitch at half time.
No, don't think so. Not that I ever saw.
Didn't happen very often. We're talking like early 80s, I think. And yet, you know, the police dogs would come on and they'd run through the slaloms and they'd run up and down podiums and stuff and they would jump through hoops of fire.
Fucking hell. That's nice to see, but in the East End they wouldn't have had it because those dogs are fucking filth.
Yeah.
These plug dogs, we won't have them near the stadium. They're all grasses.
Of course.
It was against the code.
Yeah, of course. But sorry, I even brought it up.
Yeah, we did have the Hammerettes. None of whom.
Did the Hammerettes jump through hoops of fire?
They did, and they were also... none of them, it was guaranteed, none of them grasses. That was how they advertised themselves. Yeah. Sexy young ladies in West Ham colours dancing. Guaranteed, no grasses.
Yeah, good. As it should be.
I was telling my son the other day about the worst grassing incident ever at West Ham. Where, I might have talked about this, but my mate, whose name's Eden, he lives in Australia. And he was back in town over summer to come to a couple of West Ham games. I know him from West Ham. And he had the worst luck at the hands of a grass that I've ever heard, right? And the grass has never been caught, as far as I know. We went to Millwall West Ham at the Den in about 2003. And it was a pretty feisty afternoon, as you can imagine. And Dennis Wise, I think, was player manager of Millwall. And every time he came over to take a corner, people were shouting, hurling abuse, and a few missiles were thrown at the pitch. It's Millwall West Ham. Come on.
And I mean, Dennis Wise as player manager is the sizzling stick, isn't it?
Exactly. As if you don't really need that. That's gilding the lily.
It's
but
too much.
You've taken arguably the most combustible fixture in English football. And you've also, and the football gods have thought, fuck it, let's throw Dennis Wise into the mix just to up the ante a bit, right? So obviously he's winding up the West Ham, he absolutely fucking loves it, right? I quite like Dennis Wise because he was such an unashamed little cunt, wasn't he? Plus, you probably like him because he almost sabotaged completely Newcastle United. Anyway.
Yeah, that was fun.
Anyway. So there was things being thrown at the pitch, whatever. There was all sorts of mad things that day. We got away after the game. We escaped. And it was just a normal day. We just went and had a few beers elsewhere once we were safely out of a bandit country. And that was that, as far as we knew. But a couple of weeks later, the next home game at Upton Park, and there was a bloke who sat behind me and he was a prick, and I don't have evidence that he was the grass, but I think it's pretty fucking obvious he was, right? He was a prick. He was the sort of cunt who was always telling you to sit down if you, like, stood up in moments of excitement, blah, Lampard. Blah, blah. Yeah, he just didn't... I kept thinking, have you lost your fucking way on the way to bloody Arsenal or something? He was just like, he didn't fit in. Anyway, he goes, he taps me on the shoulder and he goes, ah, where's your mate this week, right? Talking about my mate. He'd, oh, yeah. Oh, he's away working. Ah, well, probably for the best. You've seen them posters up everywhere, right? I said, so I don't know what you're talking about. He goes, ha ha, and he was loving it, this cunt. He goes, go and have a look, go and have a look down by the bar. There's police posters up with your mate on. So I go down, what? Right, and they've got, like, they've got the Metropolitan Police have put posters up all over Upton Park, right, with CCTV footage of people they claimed caused aggro at Millwall West Ham, right? And there's about five faces where you think, yeah, they look like troublemakers. And they were snarling and throwing things. And then the sixth face was my mate Eden, right? And who I'd stood with for the whole game at the Den. I'd been with him. So I'm thinking, well, if he'd caused trouble, I would have fucking noticed. I mean, you know, we were all shouting and being dickheads, but there was no, like, he hadn't organised some sort of, like, you know, row in the woods where you have to wear, you know, like gun shields, like you see on those Eastern European videos where the Polish or the Russians, they meet in woods and they all put on like gun shields, don't they? I mean, it was hardly that level, right? Anyway, I thought, fucking hell. But in the picture, it did look like he was a hooligan and had been throwing a missile. What it was when Dennis Wise had walked over and antagonised us all, he'd thrown like a plastic bottle top that I don't even think had reached the pitch. But unfortunately for him and for us, I mean, you know, there, but for the grace of God, it could have been me. We didn't know, but you know when you go into an away game sometimes no one sticks to their seats. They just stand wherever, right? Especially a game like that, people just standing wherever. We didn't know, but we were standing with a bunch of well-known troublemakers who the police were monitoring that day, right?
Right.
They didn't give us any trouble. They were as good as gold. They just seemed like a nice bunch of lads. But as it turned out, they were naughty, right? As Danny Dyer might say. And because we were standing near them, and because Eden had thrown in frustration a plastic bottle top in the direction of the pitch, he had been photographed alongside of them and considered by the police to be one of this hooligan outfit. Right,
10 most wanted.
Yeah, it was like that. And this cunt behind me going, ah, you see it, you see your mate. And the fucking poster was a grass poster, right? Because it said, if you know any of these people, call this number anonymously. And I'm like, yeah, well, that poster won't do any good, is it? As if anyone's going to fucking grass. Do you know what I mean? Whoever these people are. I thought it was a fucking weird move by the old Bill. Anyway, I did tell Eden, I said, look, I don't want to alarm you. The posters up all over us.
You might want to sit down for a minute.
You're basically like on police posters all over Upton Park. And you're being accused of being one of the main organisers of the trouble at Millwall West Ham. And he's like, well, I was with you the whole time. And I was like, well, I'm happy to, you know, stand up in court and say that, but I don't know, the police seem to have made their mind up. It's some kind of kangaroo court. Right. I shouldn't laugh, but it gets funnier than that, right? Because at the time he was seeing this Australian woman, and she was, unusually for an Australian woman, she was a little hoity-toity when it came to his football pals. She didn't understand football culture. She'd come over from Australia and she assumed that all football fans were hooligans. That was the impression she had, having come from a non-football-centric country. And in those days, we did used to go to away games and get drunk and all the rest of it. And she used to be like, I don't want you hanging around with these guys. They're trouble. They're troublemakers. They're hooligans. I don't like hooligans. And you've got to settle down. And we're thinking about having a kid soon. And this is not the kind of world I want to raise my kid in. And they'd be like, oh,
all this drinking and carousing is not good for your sperm.
Yeah, exactly. Which I need. She was like, he was like, no, it's not like that. We just go to the football and have a laugh. That's it. No, I don't like it, you hooligans. So he'd been trying to convince for ages it was bollocks. One morning, right, he's lying in bed with her. Morning, it was like a scene from Goodfellas, it was like a scene from the Sweeney. There was a knock at the door, bang, bang, bang. This is like 5 a.m. Before he could get his fucking trousers, slippers on, right, the door has come in. There is
fucking
old Bill,
hell.
And they have smashed the door in with a fucking battering ram. Yeah? And
shit.
They have all come in showing their badges. Metropolitan Police, freeze! And they have, I'm not joking, his missus, who's this hoity-toity Aussie, she was like, literally like in a Sweeney, pulling the duvet up over herself, going, yeah. Ah! Screaming her head off. They're giving it the old, calm down, sweetheart. Right?
They put your knickers on.
Put your knickers on and put the fucking kettle on. Right? We're the hooligan squad and we ain't had our breakfast. Right? Honestly, they turned his flat upside down. Right?
No way.
He goes, what the fuck are you looking for? They were looking for calling cards and all this bollocks. This guy, do you know what he did for a living? Not that that should make a difference, but he made adverts. He was an advert director, right?
Right.
He, you know, not that that means that he couldn't also be a part-time hooligan.
Well, we've all seen the firm with Gary Oldman. He was an estate agent,
so it just goes to show. But, I mean, these police... Do you know what? It represents how thick the police are. I think the police watch those films and that's where they get their fucking ideas from, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable how stupid these police were. They fucking smashed his flat up. They nicked him. You can imagine her. She'd been going on for months that she thought we were all football hooligans. Next thing, her house is being raided by these fucking police, right? So he's been grassed by this cunt next to him. Gets worse than this, right?
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
So he's up in court with all these, like, seasoned hooligans, right? And he's obviously saying to them, lads, look, get me off the hook here. Like, and they said, no, look, we're all pleading not guilty. So how are we going to fucking turn around and go, look, we're not guilty, but he's even less guilty because we don't even know him, right? So fair enough. The police got hold of it, right? They found out who, like, they looked into his background. They found out that he made adverts, and then they looked up, you'll like this, what his most recent advert was, and it was for Sugar Puffs, right? Starring the Honey Monster, right? So the Sunday Telegraph ran a whole picture going, the return of middle-class football hooliganism, right? And, I mean, as it happens, he you know, I mean, he was middle-class in terms of his career, but he wasn't by background sort of thing. And he... and the headline was, they ran a full page of him, poor bastard, with a picture of him. And the CCTV picture, they didn't focus on any of the others because they thought he was the story. And the headline was, The Money Monster, right? Because they said he was throwing coins. He wasn't. He threw a fucking plastic bottle top, but whatever. The Money Monster, Sugar Puff's ad man in Millwall West Ham terror rampage.
No
right?
way.
Yeah, right?
Shit.
He goes to fucking court. He's looking at a custodial, right? Thank God, due to character references and he didn't have a record or anything like that, he gets off with community service, right? But he is banned from any football match, not just West Ham, right? England, anything, for 5 years. He can't be within a 5 mile radius or something. Like, I can't remember what the radius was, but a huge radius of a football stadium on match day. Right?
Is this one of them things where he's got to hand his passport in when England play away or something like that?
He came back into... that did happen, yeah, that's correct. And what happened was, right, his missus has turned around to him. Everyone else is really sympathetic and thinks, poor bloke, he never did anything wrong. It could have been any of us. He's been grassed up by one of his own. Oh, one of his own. Right? This is a breach of the most sacred code of them all. Right?
Self-grassing.
We've never grassed our own until now. And that is why we had to leave Upton Park. people think it was a business deal, but actually it was the elders, the Cockney elders, got together and said, basically, we have to shut the club down for good.
We've got grass in our midst.
We've just got to move and set fire to Upton Park. Right. She said to him, everyone else is sympathetic, but his missus wasn't, right? And not long after, it was my stag in New York, right? And he was obviously invited, and we all went out. But she had sort of, we were on the plane, and I saw her walking along. And I thought, what the fuck is Eden's wife doing on this plane? We're all on there, lads, on the fucking jumbo jet to New York. I walked up the aisle. I said, gone to my brother, what's Eden's missus doing on this plane? Yeah, I was going to tell you, but she basically banned him from coming because she doesn't want him hanging around with his West Ham mates anymore. And in the end, the only way that she would let him come is if she came too. I said, he can't fucking invite his wife on my stag. Oh, no, no, but she's visiting a mate out in New York. She checked into the same hotel as us, mate.
Oh, God.
She's fucking mad. Anyway, ruined. After that, she said to him, listen, I'm not happy with the way you're living your life. If you want to, I think they were married, actually. If you want to, I'm leaving you and I'm going back to Australia. I'm pregnant. And actually, I don't know if that's true, but she's basically made him go back to go and live in Australia. And like, yeah, football was a large part of his life. Mm. Actually, I must say, I'm probably being unfair to her. I've suddenly realised I've named him. And this might be completely unfair. This was our perception at the time, right?
Right.
Our perception at the time was that he moved to Australia because he couldn't go to football here anymore anyway, right? He was banned. Yeah.
Might as well go and live in... It's a good reason to go and live in Australia.
So, actually, I've no idea whether it was her insisting. I better be careful here. But what we do know is that he was so gutted and his life had been so ruined by this fucking incident, right, which was completely fictitious, that he's moved to Australia. He still lives there today. He came back a couple of weeks ago for his first couple of West Ham games in ages, right? In years, over a decade. And one time he did have to fly back from Australia to Europe to do a job for working. And it happened to coincide with the Euros or the World Cup being on in Europe. I think it was the Euros. And he was apprehended when he got off the plane. And he was flying back from Australia to do a job in London. I think it was London. Yeah. It might have even been another European country. And the old Bill were waiting for him because it flashed up that he booked a flight to Europe during an international tournament. Yeah, no, he didn't fucking give a shit. He wasn't bothered about watching England either way.
Fucking hell.
So and that all started with a plastic bottle top being thrown. Yeah. Can you believe it? How stupid the police were.
Don't do anything at a football match other than sit on your hands.
I think...
because fucking, your life could unravel.
If you can't throw a fucking plastic bottle top at Millwall West Ham, then where can you do it? Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I guess so.
I mean, I feel if for the really kids. I feel for the kids. I was listening to my brother's Life Goals podcast this morning. His guest is Andy Burnham, who I think's a great bloke. And it's really good. He's a good Everton fan. And what I really liked about him is, you know, all these fucking politicians, they shit themselves so much about anything they've ever done in their life that might be even remotely out of line, right? Yeah. And they hide or they lie about their past. He's just fucking talking about it. And he's talking about the semi-final between Everton and I can't remember who, at Highbury in 1984, right? And he's gone, yeah, I went down there. I was 14. It was the first game I'd ever been to without my dad. I was wearing my Adidas Gazelles, my Ticini, all of this gear. He went, I look like Barry, what's his name, from Brookside. He goes, and when Adrian Heath scored the winner, he went, oh, I'm not joking. We all just, he went, it's not right, admittedly, but we all just stormed the pitch. Yeah, I was on the pitch. It was a right laugh. And then he's just laughing, going, yeah, don't do it, kids. You know, you shouldn't really do it, but wow, what a day. It was really good fun. I think you can see me on Match of the Day and all of this. And I thought, yeah, good one. You've got my vote.
There's a difference, I think, between 80s pitch invasions and modern ones. They were more innocent back then.
They were, yeah.
There was that time when Brian Clough punched a fan, and that was the only kind of violence that you ever saw betwixt fans and players. You know, nobody went after the referee or anything like that. It was always joyous pitch celebration.
The headline was
a few riots.
The headline was a few riots. The headline was shit hits fan, wasn't it, when Brian Clough hit that fan?
Yeah. apart from the few riots that there were, but you can always ascertain what was a riot and what was good natured. But remember the end of last season when they were all doing pitch invasions and players were getting clumped?
That's not on. Well, cocaine at football wasn't such a big deal back then.
That's the thing.
Because back then cocaine was big in the 80s, but it wasn't. They weren't doing it at the football. It was a posh drug for yuppies, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
And now everyone's on fucking gear, jumping on the pitch and trying to whack a player, fuck's sake.
It's gone too far.
Yeah.
But, I mean, speaking of riots, there's the Nottingham cheese riot.
There's a cheese riot to be discussed here.
So, the Goose Fair. The riot came at a time of food shortages and rising prices in England. Oh, so maybe there's a parallel there with the modern day. Maybe we'll see cheese riots in this country soon. Who knows? I'm not advocating them.
I don't know what's going on with cheese prices, but I think, like everything, they're on the rise. Yeah. I might just start making my own cheese.
I wouldn't know where to start.
Well, I'll first milk Nelson.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be the first stop.
Cat cheese.
Then I'll get some cat milk out of him. I'll put that in a Tupperware box. Chuck in some salt and any other flavours. Some people like a bit of dried cranberry or fruit in their cheese, don't they? Could experiment. And then I think just leave it in a dank, darkened room for a couple of months.
Do you have to make it into curds and whey and separate the curds from the whey?
Oh, yeah, I might need some muslin cloth.
Yeah.
So I'll have to source some of that.
Just use a handkerchief.
Yeah, I've got some J cloths.
Yeah, you've
got some new ones actually that I brought back from Wales. Got a whole fresh pack.
Is the a corner of the Vita Modular you could darken maybe?
Yeah, you could cut it off or something like that. Leave it in a box. Yeah,
because it's warm in there, isn't it? I think it needs to be a warm environment.
Yeah, it's very warm. It's a good. The Vita Modular is probably quite a good space for cultivating mould. We shall find out as autumn like unfolds.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't know if it's worth making your own cheese. Do you think it is?
Well, that's what I was saying. We might have to. If not, we're going to be seeing more cheese riots going on up and down the land. Liz Truss, what's in your in tray, Liz Truss? That's what it'll say in the paper. Liz Truss's in tray. Well, fucking first up, what are we doing about? If I was a civil servant, I'd be like, first up, you've got to get the cheese situation sorted out because there are riots brewing all across England. Don't worry about the Welsh, Scottish and Irish. They've got their fucking cheese under control. It's the fucking English you want to worry about.
I saw a thing the other day. There was someone linked to this piece which said, brace yourself for the £20 pint. And then I think right at the end of the piece, it says something like, there's probably no chance of there being a £20 pint, but, you know.
Almost all news is like that
now,
isn't it?
Got your attention for a minute.
There's a headline. Massive tits on their way to your workplace. Well, I'll read that at the end of the article. Experts have said that it's extremely unlikely that most workplaces will have big tits anytime soon, apart from the ones that are already there.
The key word is always may, isn't it?
Yeah.
Massive tits may be in your workplace soon. And then, of course, it turns out that no, they're not. was it? There was this thing recently about Jarlsberg cheese from Norway.
Yeah, nice cheese there.
It's very nice cheese, yeah. And it was something about it would reduce diabetes or something like that. And then at the end of the piece, it turned out that it was unlikely to reduce diabetes and that the study itself had been commissioned by Jarlsberg.
All of these fucking things, you dig into these fucking studies and they've all been commissioned by the foodstuff or entity that it's fucking promoting, obviously. And the study's always from some fucking disreputable, like, US sort of pseudo-university who have just agreed to come up with whatever results you require in order to assemble your press release, right? And the thing is, newspapers, news organisations used to have dedicated and experienced health and science editors who were fucking experts in their field and knew a bit about how to decipher credible research from bullshit PR, right? Now, no one has. There are no specialist editors on newspapers anymore. Do you know what I mean? So it'll be some
content
fucking
farmers.
Yeah, there'll be some fucking kid who's been there 5 minutes. He gets a press release emailed through going, oh, Jarlsberg will cure diabetes. And they go, oh, that's good. And they just write it up and stick it out, right? They don't care as long as the headline's right. Ben Goldacre wrote that brilliant book and column years ago now called Bad Science. It's still worth reading because what it does is he's a funny writer and it's light, but it sort of teaches you how to fucking understand any of these fucking bullshit science and health stories in the newspaper and decipher really quickly which ones are bullshit and which ones are credible. But 90% of them, like you say, are just fucking bullshit.
They should teach that at school. They should teach media savviness, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I think they do a little bit. I think they do a little bit. I know my daughter's done a bit of like stuff where they give you two news stories and, you know, get you to analyse the different ways in which the same facts have been spun to come to a different conclusion.
Good.
But I tell you when I nearly rioted, the closest I've ever come to rioting over cheese was when they fucking, Sainsbury's discontinued that Mull of Kintyre mature cheddar.
We had the opportunity to buy the farm, I think, didn't we, where they were making it?
We were close to it.
Unprofitable.
We were close to it.
It would have been a loss-making exercise, but we were quite close to seeing
it. It would have been a loss leader because it would have helped promote the podcast.
Of course, the football podcast,
Yeah. These are the first footballing podcasts. The headline would have been, get ready. These podcasters are about to go into the cheese business and they have no regrets. And it's me and you standing in the foreground, arms folded, looking really sort of almost aggressive, and the cheese farm behind us. Now podcasters are into cheese farming.
Whatever next?
Yeah, front cover of Wired magazine.
Yeah. Violence broke out when local citizens intervened to prevent Lincolnshire merchants taking away Nottingham cheeses they'd bought at the fair. So the Lincolnshire, Nottinghamshire showdown. A warehouse, shops and a cargo boat were looted. Hundreds of cheese wheels were rolled through the streets. Whoa, lower cheese wheel. The army was deployed when the mayor was unable to restore control. Send for the army! One man was killed and others wounded as soldiers opened fire on the crowds.
Order
was eventually restored after some days of unrest. And that is where we will end the episode because we'll examine all those things next time. When we do eventually get round to looking at the Nottingham Cheese Riot. Thank you and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.